This is an MUT Radio podcast.
It is Umgo Lifestyle Wednesday, and we are back with our esteemed guest. Well, it's not really a guest. He's more or less Ubaba Wethu, who is always a part of our show every single Wednesday. But I'm just being formal Mengiti guest because he is a transformational life coach, and also he is the author of the book, The Bible and Depression. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, manene na manene gazi, Mr. Podzi Mande. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing, Africa? How are you and how are you listeners? The whole MUT Radio crew. Abadabasha, what's up?
We're good. I mean, every now and then we do need to give you that welcome because we also haven't had you in studio in a long time. So yabo, sibuyisikhumbule. So you need to feel very special, yabo.
Yeah, I'm so special just being on MUT Radio, you know? Just being interviewed by Afika, you know? Chastity.
Afika is the one. Yeah, no, we are actually the ones that are very blessed and super, 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 super privileged, kakhulu, to always have you. We know how busy you are and the impact that you're creating. In case it ain't not just on MUT Radio, so siyabonga kakhulu. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. It's my pleasure. Yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, so it's actually National Suicide Prevention Month, and during this time, countless of individuals and organizations come together to amplify the voices of those that are affected by suicide. And it becomes very important for us to then have this conversation, which, again, because we are in Heritage Month as well, can be considered to be taboo and stigmatized, especially kuthina as the Black community. Yabo. So as we're going to speak about this, Babunzi Mande, there are some few questions I have that are focusing on just, you know, some of the things that are cultural stigmas, you know, for people that are experiencing depression. I mean, I did mention before you came on, Uguti, when you wrote the book, The Bible and Depression. So we are also going to speak about the role of religion when it comes to things like depression and anxiety and suicidal thoughts. So I am really looking forward to today's conversation.
Yeah. Well, yes, let's do this.
Yes, most definitely. So, Babunzi Mande, I think we can start off by Uguti. We know, Uguti, there are different cultures, you know, that have unique perspectives and stigmas surrounding mental health and suicide. Can you please speak about how cultural stigmas actually can impact the way people perceive or the way people may respond to a depression, which then could possibly lead to suicidal thoughts?
All right. First of all, I'm only really qualified to speak on Zulu culture, which is a culture that I have a better understanding of.
Yes.
And contrary to popular opinion, modern popular opinion, actually, the Zulu people did not consider mental health to be something that deserves a stigma. There's even names for it. For example, you have something called ukwandalala, which is depression. So if there's a name for it, it's being recognized, it's being acknowledged. So Zulu culture acknowledges ukwandalala and there are ways of dealing with it. But you will note that in our cultural, now Zulu cultural context, the emphasis is not so much on treating ukwandalala than in preventing ukwandalala, which would make therefore ukwandalala rare. And therefore, a result of something that has not been managed properly. That is why people, when you look at the cultural context, would see it as a consequence of a mishap rather than something that should happen. And that is what could potentially then be seen to be seeing it as a stigma, because they view it as an anomaly. Now, let me make you an example as to why. What leads to depression and what could lead one to becoming suicidal, as it were? And I'm just going to isolate three things. There could be many others, but I'm just going to isolate three things. The first one is the sense of being overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you feel powerless against a situation or a person.
Mm.
Number two, it's the sense of helplessness. As overwhelmed as you are, no one can help you. You can't help yourself and no one can help you. Number three, it's a sense of hopelessness.
Mm.
Right? Let's look at how culture handles those things.
Yeah.
In terms of the sense of powerlessness, if you're powerless to change anything that you need to change, culture, African culture is very communal. And yeah, that is why you have, for That's example, true. A saying such as, "Injobo enhle ithungelwa ebandla, okwehlula amadoda kuyabikwa."
Yeah.
So the cultural setup allows you to refer.
Mm.
You know, it allows you to ask someone. I'm going to say something, Afika, that might be a little bit sensitive, because other people might have different views about it.
Yeah.
So please allow me to say this is my view,
okay,
right? So that I'm not inviting debate. I'm trying to illustrate a particular point.
Okay.
So I'm putting up a disclaimer up front.
Yeah.
Let's take this thing, yokuhlolwa kweyintombi.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And some people argue it's a violation of personal rights and.
Yeah.
And that's okay, and I respect those views.
Mm.
But for a moment, just walk with me for argument's sake.
Okay.
And see how that would benefit the girl child in the following sense. If somebody wanted to overpower her, he would then say to her, "Don't tell anyone. If you tell anyone, I'll kill you."
Yeah.
But if it was in a sense, it's not up to me to tell anyone. Ngiyahlolwa.
Mm.
I don't have to tell them. They'll find out anyway.
Yes.
You see now how that takes the power away from the criminal.
Yeah.
From the would-be criminal. Because then, whoever it is in the homestead, whether it's a silly uncle, whether it's a naughty neighbor, or whatever it is, that person now knows that they can't take advantage of the young girl, because no matter how much they threaten the child, it is not up to the child to report. The child will be followed anyway.
Yeah, the truth will come out regardless.
The truth will come out, and you can't even blame the child. There's an institutional arrangement that makes sure that the child doesn't even have to report. The system proactively makes sure that she's not being taken advantage of.
Mm.
Now, if you look at the system purely from the point of view that it impacts her behavior and whether she is taking care of herself, then you're narrowing it down. It's actually looking to see whether no one is taking advantage of her in a way that she can't defend herself and she can't tell anyone.
Yeah,
and since you've taken that out of the system, you will see that most cases of child abuse actually threaten the child to say, "If you report, I will kill you."
I will, and then they don't. And
is my proposition logical?
No, it's very much logical. It is.
Yes. So I'm just trying to illustrate the point of power to say, therefore, in that case, where the child might not have power themselves, there is an institutional arrangement that is powerful on her behalf.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't have to feel powerless. She doesn't have to feel like she doesn't have power. Wherever individuals don't have power, there are institutions in place to give power to the individual.
Yeah.
So that's number one. Number two, then you have the sense of helplessness. Again, where an individual may feel helpless. So, for example, you would see that in the cultural context, people do things in age groups. So, age group from this age to that age, they become a particular age group, and they go through and you'd find that there is protection and help that is embedded in the system. People will come through for you because Untanga yethu.
Untanga yethu. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. So people will greet Heshe Ntanga Mashiya. Uyabo?
Yes.
Heshe Ntanga yethu. And just on that basis alone, there's camaraderie, there's a sense that, you know, we are the same age group, therefore we stand with each other, we defend each other, we are for each other. We don't need anything else. Just we have a common, we have a shared sense of identity because we are the same age group culturally.
Yes. So we relate to each other.
Help immediately becomes available. But also because the family themselves is so communal. You see, these days, you are pregnant, you have a child, it's you and your husband, and now you must look after the child by yourself. And all of those things. In a communal setup, the child belongs to the family. And when the mother cannot be with the child, there are many mothers within, and they are mothers. They're not even, they don't have any other name. They have the name Umama. So you have Umama Umnane, Umamnane, Umamkulu, but Umama. All the same, within the same household. So if you're a woman, and you have to take care of children, you have a lot of help within the homestead. So, and I've just illustrated two things. You can apply to a number of other aspects where the construct, the cultural construct, the cultural institutions are there to give help now to the individual. So they give power and protection to the individual. They also give help to the individual. And then there's also the issue of hope. If you look at how culture enhances hope, you are always called by your clan names.
Yes.
And
yes.
In your clan names, they curate those things that create within you a sense of courage, a sense of pride, of, you know, a very positive self-esteem. So, for example, Mina, a Giti. And we kind of like, and see that when our uncles would say these things, they would say them with such a great deal of pride that pride was imparted to us.
Yeah.
And so we walk around with that sense of pride.
Of course.
When you have a sense of personal pride and confidence and good self-esteem, you are more protected from things that erode your self-worth, because your self-worth is not just in what, it's also in who you are born of, where you come from. You know. And then you have things like ingoma. You know, if you look at how the dancing would happen, ingoma, you'd have everyone forms a circle. You start your own song, right? Everyone is singing your song. And when they sing your song, everybody's clapping hands for you.
And you feel good, yeah.
So for that moment, everyone is clapping for you, acknowledging you. And if you look, the kind of songs you start are about songs that are deeply important to you.
Yeah.
So you compose a song and everybody claps, usine, usine, usine. And as you get apart from the fact that you are releasing feel-good hormones and endorphins, but also you enter an altered state of consciousness, which allows you to resolve these things at a deep subconscious level. You know? So, for example, let's say it's a lady and her husband, maybe she was a young maiden, and her husband, recently married, went off to Johannesburg and he's been gone for a long time, and she is missing him. She's now able to start a song, and I'm just making an example, it's an illustration. She can now start a song. Maybe this man, the most notable thing about him is that he had big hands. This is really just an illustration. It's coming off the top of my head. Maybe he had big hands. So now she can start a song and say, zandla zegoli engabubamba ungabubamba ziphi icimbe engabubamba yabo zandla mhlawumbe usekuzwile ukuthi lo bhuti egoli uneyintombi yabo so sothi awu kodwa zandla ezinkulu engabe zibamba mapha amadadla uyayibo
yeah
sikuba ingoma ke zandla ezinkulu engabe ubamba mapha amadadla zandla ezinkulu engabe ubamba mapha amadadla you say I'm composing that now but I'm just giving you an illustration and then everyone would help her sing she's singing the pain out of her.
Yes.
She's singing about this very painful thing and everyone is clapping to say we acknowledge your pain. We feel you. We are standing with you. We see you.
Mm.
You see now?
Yeah.
And then if it was found that the condition is of a more spiritual nature, there were also tools of diagnosis that were available. So that, for example, you'd hear there's a saying, hey, lo,
okay. I've never heard of it, Mr. Nzimande, but yes, ungasitshela ngayo.
There are times that so the Zulu expression, when you are full of anger in your chest.
Oh, yes.
You know, yes, you are then said to be full of intutu. Or you're full of ikwebu. Ikwebu is bubbles.
Yes.
You know, like when you hit soap and then it gives you bubbles.
Mm.
Yeah. So, and they know whether it's intutu or ikwebu that you're struggling with.
Yeah.
When it's ikwebu, for example, they then say, I funeka enzelu ndethile agape. Agape kuphuma ikwebu. And sure enough, after that, a person has done that ritual. Whether it's working on them psychologically or it's actual spiritual, I don't know. But they would, after logo kapa logo, they would be less angry or they would be less upset. And it would be a thing that, okay, we've taken care of what it is that was troubling the person in the chest.
Mm.
If we do too, for example, they would also have a kind of a ritual. So depending on a person's conduct, they could tell what treatment needs to be administered to this person. For example, if a person was, if a child was hyperactive,
you know,
these days we talk about ADHD and all of those things.
Yeah.
They would look at a child and say, no, this child is hyperactive. You know?
Yeah.
They would know what to do. Whether you agree with the practice or not, the point is they could diagnose and they could administer treatment. They could look at a person and say, when a child is struggling with anxiety, they'll then say, no unenyon.
Okay, I've heard that one.
They would even say, awukishwa ngiyon semncane. Because there's a ritual that is done to make a person overcome anxiety. You'll find that they use, for example, if you have mood swings, severe mood swings, they'll then say,
yes.
And so there's a name for it. There's a name and a treatment for it.
As well.
They would know, they would be able to diagnose, for example, and say, I know suicidals.
Yeah.
And they would know what to do with that, regardless of what you and I think of that. But they would also be able to diagnose and say, no, just for clarity, they would say, imimoya yabantu who do not belong in that place, who were in transit, who might have died in that particular place.
Yeah.
And their spirits are wandering. So they enter anyone as a design. And therefore, utholu muntu ungeno umoya womuntu wase Mozambique or wasona endleleni. Because we remember that would be old rural spaces.
Yes.
Bese ungena kumuntu. Bese eba nomoya kuthiwa, ay, unomoya wezizwe akulona ihlozi izizwe ugelwe umoya wokuhamba wezizwe some unknown tribe some unknown nation and they would know what to do ukhipha izizwe
with that as well.
Yeah, they would know what to do. And this is even before Christianity. These days we know we are able to pray them away. But I'm just giving a cultural context. Therefore, it's not something that that should become a long... They were looking at it as something that shouldn't be there. Mm-hmm. But even if it is there, it shouldn't last very long because there's ways to deal with it. So it would be a question. So it's like these days, you know, somebody tells them they've got a Panado, it's like, but how do you ever, they've got a headache. It's like, but there's Panado.
Yeah. I'll just try a Panado, Grandpa. Like, yeah.
Yeah, like, how does it become such a big thing now that you've got a headache? I mean, there's Panado. Do you understand? Imagine now, we have a big conference to come and discuss headache.
Really?
No, I'm saying just imagine.
Yeah.
You see how it wouldn't make sense to us now?
It wouldn't.
In the same sense, it didn't. Some of these things didn't make sense to them because the solutions were as easy as Grandpa.
Understandable, really, really. It is.
Am I making sense though?
No, you're making
illustrating how they related to these things. For them, those things were serious, important, but they were already taken care of. And where they did emerge, there was already a way to deal with them.
No,
for example, there's another one that leads to these things. There is something called iskafulo.
Iskafulo.
Hey, nisebancane bantadamu.
Yes, ezinye izinto bomzimanda sizazi kodwa phela angithi uyasifundisa.
Kholongile mntadamu ukufundisa. Iskafulo is where a person who is wanting to come into a love relationship.
Yeah.
Will therefore make an incantation upon a mixture of herbs and invoke spirits. Atuma mabutho ukuthi ayomlandela intombi, for example.
How? Yes.
Yeah, that's why you must pray. That's why you must pray, because people are doing funny things here. They look at you and they like you, and then they do these incantations and they send these spiritual amabutos, these spirits. Then intombazane lapha just suddenly finds herself just loving this person irresistibly and obsessively and and it creates a sense of umunyu, grief. Now, my kafuliwe intombi yayikwakukhonte kwathi isipoliyana yayingavuka ebusuku.
Hayibo.
Ivuka ebusuku idabula ubusuku impela ihambe iye kwa-boyfriend ithi ngeke ngilale mina ngingambona ngusibanibani.
Yo.
Ngifuna umuntu wami. And they knew ukuthi, hayi usibanibani uyikhafulile intombi noma uyiphosile. And they could look at the signs and say, hayi iphosiwe. Uyiphosile. And then they knew also how to treat that.
Much like umuntu medlise.
Exactly. Khona nedliso lomoya ke mntanami elithunyelwayo umuntu adle ebusukelele. Uyavuka ngakusasa usecabanga ngendlela yaleli dliso ukuthi limfuna ukuthi akenze ini. Uyabo. So ke, yeah, that's why you must be prayerful. You can't just walk around here. People are doing funny things. You need God. You need God, especially when you're a young, pretty girl. You need God. Even as a young man, you need God. Because there are people out there who are not working, who've decided to go to Bona, they're going to get you to come work for them. But again, that was not the subject of my discourse today. What I was trying to say to you is that they knew these things. They knew that they could prevent them, but where they did, okay, they could treat them. And so for them, it was really a question of, why are we having a big conference about Grandpa?
Yeah.
You know, why are we having a big conference about headache when we've got Grandpa, we've got Disprin and whatever? And I think what I was really trying to do then is just create the cultural context for the apparent stigma. It is not a stigma that says it should not happen, does not happen, cannot happen. It is a stigma to say, but why is it happening? Meanwhile, because of the deconstruction of the black community, because our community has been so severely deconstructed, we've lost those tools. We've lost those implements. And that's why I wrote the book, The Bible and Depression, to try and say, look, we may have lost the cultural instruments, but we've gained a powerful spiritual instrument.
Yeah.
Regardless of what it is, there are still spiritual tools to overcome. There are spiritual tools, Rabashaya, Laka Rabasaya, Manda Rabasaya. I apologize. I have an unction of the spirit. I have a meeting to pray just for 2 minutes with someone who's contemplating suicide. May I do that?
Absolutely, Mr. Zindaman.
Father God, we praise you. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the King of Kings. You are the King of Glory. You rule upon Mount Zion. Father, these are your children. They are listening, Father God, and they are listening to you. And for anyone and everyone who's hearing voices of suicide, who's hearing voices that tell them to go and kill themselves, who's having ideas of suicide and toying with suicidal ideation, Father God, in the name of Jesus and upon the blood of Jesus that speaks better things than the blood of Abel, I send the fire of the Holy Ghost now to arrest those voices, silence those voices, and cast them out in the name of Jesus Christ the Almighty, who was and is to come and forever shall be. I seal this prayer, my Father. I seal it with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Yeah. Thank you so much, Babu Nzimande.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Any last words because of time?
My last words are, you know, as the famous Linda Spear would say, it's not over until God says it's over. I'm also saying the same thing. Wherever you are, whatever you're thinking, let me tell you, man, we've been there. It might sound like you're the only one going through it. We've been there. We are buyeka, we are shuleka, we are pileka. God is faithful. Don't give up.
Don't give up. God is faithful. We're going to end off this one with one of your favorite songs. It's Tracy Chapman, 80 Mountain O Things. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.